Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy. The I Ching, part 9, in which we'll pick up not exactly where Gwydion left off in part 8, more like where BT left off in part 7. Anyway, I hope everybody's doing well. Today's beverage is some lavender tea. Of this persuasion. And so I will lose the bag and then find it and then pull it out and plop it there on my wooden desk. Just kidding. There's a little dish there. I thought ahead today, a little more than usual. And for the incense, we've got the rose, just the rose. Not mixing it with anything today. So, again, I woke up to... So if you're not watching, sometimes I go off about things that are related to the Carl Jung series in the Divine Pymander series, or I go off about things related to the white petal in the green petal. So if you're just following the white petal, then you don't know. Jean-Michel Jarre, the album that I've been using up till now, I will not be using that album anymore because every day I wake up and there's like 9 more of my videos blocked, and then I have to go through and tell the Google AI bot to go ahead and remove the music of that album from behind my voice, and then I end up sounding like I'm talking from inside a tin can forever. And it's silly. So I made a video in 2019 or so of, or maybe it was, I don't know, a little later, but the point is it was a long time ago. It was years ago where I used Jarre, and then it was fine. And it was like, oh, great. And then a year later, it was like, that video's blocked worldwide. I'm like, what? Yeah, because of the Jarre, or the Jar. I've been saying Jarre my whole life, and someone corrected me at one point in my 20s, and it hasn't stuck. Anyway, Jar. The British say Jar. I'll just say Jar. So I deleted the audio from the background of 4 minutes of the Shanghai music video, so there's just 4 minutes of... like the very dramatic part where it was like the music really, I edited it to the music. So without the music there, it's just a bunch of fast moving images of Buddhist temples. And it's like, this is weird. It's an odd choice, isn't it? Well, it would have made sense with the music. And then another year later, I come to realize that, that's fine. Yeah, no, everybody's cool. Sony's cool with it. You can use Jarre. Sounds weird to me saying it. So I deleted the one with the screwed up audio and I uploaded the original again. And then everything was fine for years. And then I started Chicken Philosophy. And when I started Secret of the Golden Flower, I made Jean-Michel Jarre's Concerts in Chine the centerpiece, the mascot, the vibe for every episode. And so now, again, starting like a week ago, the Sony or whatever, or Jarre, I don't know, because Sony owns a lot of music, but Jarre is the only one that I'm running into this issue with. So if you saw the recent Mechan revelations, I went off on Jarre a little too much. I would rather be forgotten by oncoming generations and all history rather than allow... I can't do a very good French accent, but whatever. Anyway, so anyway, in light of that and in light of, like, those of you who saw the recent Divine Pymander know about the heckler, that the Carl Jung heckler, the Jungian heckler. So I need to do a little bit of cleansing here before I start my reading, and I invite you to join me. So we'll go ahead and do that. So if you want to close your eyes, unless you're driving, don't close your eyes. close your eyes and feel if you're, you know, whatever is in contact with the ground, perhaps your feet, perhaps your legs and tailbone, connecting with the ground, or, you know, through the chair, whatever you're sitting on, or standing. Are you standing while you watch this? Maybe. Could, who knows? Just connect with, don't worry too much about, is it real or am I imagining? Don't just forget about that. Turn that part of the mind off for a moment, just for a moment. And feel through the floorboards or through the cement, concrete, whatever it is. It's all concrete here in India, but it might be wood where you are. The steel and concrete connect with the actual soil, the actual earth beneath the structure that you're in. If you're in a structure, maybe you're out on a picnic, I don't know. And feel through the bedrock, through the crust, and down into the mantle of the earth. Just feel it down there, slowly churning and hot, and down, glowing, down, 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 all the way down to where it's super concentrated, white hot, the core of the earth. And now let all of those concerns, let the stupid Sony Jarre bullshit and that fucking Carl Jung guy drain out through your nerves and through your bones and skin, whatever, out of your aura, down through the contact points with the ground, and quickly, rapidly down past the mantle and back to the center of the earth, where the earth can turn it back into useful prima materia, back into useful matter. Offer it to the earth, and as you do, feel all of the energy, your own soul energy, not Carl Jung's soul, real soul, your energy that you have invested in these things to exist in your personal universe. Allow that energy to return to you. And so everything that you allow to drain through you into the center of the earth to return to the white light and the dust comes back to you in the form of pure, fresh, new energy, infinite potential energy, energy to be held like a jar or used how you choose. With your will, with your imagination, with your creativity, as opposed to things that are haphazardly there that we feel like have to be there or we feel like we can't do anything about, when in reality we can. It just takes a little effort. Maybe some visualization might help. And now relax and allow the thousand arms to extend and allow the hands and fingers at the end of those thousand arms to release their grips on the thousand things that you didn't realize you were clinging to. And take a deep breath. And open your eyes. My dad always used to like to clap after some shit like that. I don't know, like the habit I picked up. I think the Freemasons would knock or something. That's where you got it. Anyway, okay, cool. I feel a little better. I do. All right, so today we're going to finish the trigrams. So these are the trigrams that we've gone over so far. You remember those? There's heaven and thunder, right? Water, mountain, earth, wind, and fire. So let's do them one at a time. Heaven, Qian. We'll work on our pronunciation later. Thunder, Chen. Water, Kaan. K apostrophe A-N. Mountain, Ken. Earth, Kuun. Wind, Sun. Fire Lee. And today, Lake, the final of the 8 trigrams that we had not previously gone over that we're going to be going over today. That one. Lake. And the form in which we're going to be going over that is the hexagram lake, which is lake on top of lake. A lake on a lake. 58. It's figure 58. All right. And I think I noticed in the Alethiometer show that the lady, I forget her name, but she's the serpent who's going to tempt Eve. I mean, that seems to be what's being implied. I think I'm in the middle of season 3, and I think there were only 3 seasons, which is kind of a shame. I would like to see how the story continues, but I'm enjoying. I think she's reading this version. She's reading the Wilhelm version, and she's got sticks and everything, so that's fun. So we're going to do the Wilhelm version after we finish this version. So for the guy that was like, too bad you're not even reading the I Ching. Yeah, we're going to continue to not read the I Ching for a while by reading this stuff. And then later we're going to get into this brick up there. So anyway, tune in a few months if you want to skip to that. All right, Tui. The Joyous. Oh, that's new. I mean, the last few episodes been lacking this, so we'll welcome this, even though we didn't divine it. It's just the 8th of the 8 trigrams that we are going over. Okay, the little blurb is, true joy is experienced by those who are strong within and gentle without. Let's put up the image of Osiris with the crook and scourge. That's me when I was 12. No, I was probably 21. Maybe 22. And I was using my lotus wand as a crook and my Gibura sword as a scourge. Let's put up a proper Osiris. There you go. So, yeah, I don't know. One of those word of mouth things that I probably maybe came from somewhere, maybe came from someone's meditation. It was Fred or G, who was the first real heartbreak was when he left, and I had to stop talking to him. God, fucking cults. Anyway, so he was the one who taught me that you keep the sword closer to your heart. I don't know if this is good advice. And you keep the crook on the outside to remind yourself that you you deal using mercy with the rest of the world. The crook. You mercifully use the crook to move the sheep around because you're the shepherd, right? Because you're Jesus. And the sword, or the crook, or the scourge, the whip. So you whip yourself and you use a hook to move other people around. No, use the strength, the Gibura, the Martian energy on yourself, and you use the loving Jupiter energy on other people. Now that I've said it out loud, it sounds like absolutely terrible advice, but who are strong within and gentle without sounds better. So I think that, you know, if you're able to interpret those symbols as being this, then it sounds like good advice. But the way that I said it sounds like, no, love yourself, dude. Be merciful. Forgive yourself. You know, don't forgive yourself too much. You know, mercy without restriction, right? That was a callback to. Okay. So the rest of the hexagram says here, the hexagram Tui teaches us not. The Hawk Tui girl? No.
Spent all that night.
Joy. No.
Joy.
Joy!
The hexagram Tui teaches us how to come into possession of joy in our search for success and happiness. We are prone to think that we must take aggressive actions to achieve them. The instruction of the I Ching is just the opposite. Only those who practice innocence, acceptance, and detachment inherit true joy in this world. I was talking to Pew yesterday or the day before about, you know, because when that asshole, not to bring back the shit that we already gave back to Mother Earth, but just from a distant perspective, because it relates to the I Ching. we were talking about that, and I was saying, yeah, I think I'll just ignore it rather than mention it. And she's like, oh yeah, that's better, you know. Don't give him the satisfaction of knowing that he bugged you, you know. But then I didn't take my own advice, and I went ahead and ranted about it, but not in a Carl Jung. I think he only watches the Carl Jung, but in a Divine Pioneer, I ranted about it, or BT'd it, you know. And then afterward, I was like debriefing, you know, I was like talking to people about how it went. And I was saying, you know, even though both us in the past, you know, we decided I would ignore it and not mention it, but like, I don't like feeling a blockage, like with you, you know, with you, the TV screen that I'm talking to right now. Or whoever, whatever, you know. I don't like keeping secrets from Chicken Philosophy. You know what I mean? I like, in order to facilitate the flow, if I know, like, oh, don't talk about this, then I'm hung up on not talking about that, and then I don't flow as much with everything else. And so I got to flow about the thing that's bugging me in order to get back to a flow with everything else. And maybe, I don't know that it annoys me, so it must annoy others, but I don't know. Some people enjoy watching me suffer, so in a nice way, I think. Anyway, no, but the point is, the I Ching had also said, like, you know, if you trust people and then they break your trust, and this was a guy that I had already clicked automatically approve messages, because at first, you know, I have to approve, like, when someone starts commenting, and I'm like, a little suspicious of new people, but then, like, once I decide they're all right, then I click auto approve. This guy was auto approved, so I don't remember how he got himself auto approved, but the same guy that wrote the essay about what a piece of shit I was and how psychologically damaged and all that. Fucking okay, I can see talking about something can bring it back. So, but the point is, yeah, the I Ching had said don't resort to harshness when someone betrays your trust. And so I was being a little harsh. I was trying not to. I was saying, you know, blessings to you. I don't wish you ill, you know, that kind of thing. But I felt harshly, and I was expressing that. I wasn't like, I'm going to be harsh at you. No, I was like feeling annoyed and hurt. And that was coming out as a little bit of, I was flipping off the camera and that kind of thing. That's a little harsh, right? And then, and so I was talking to Pew about this and saying, you know, like the I Ching is, aside from, like, you know, if you don't approach it as a divination, but you look at the entire thing, it's a set of teachings, a set of guidances to be the perfect 5,000 years ago Chinese guy. You know, it's like like if you read all of Martin Luther, you're like, this is how to be the perfect Amish person, you know, like 15th century, 16th, whatever century, German, you know, anti-papal, true believer Christian, you know, like, that's how to do that, is follow the teachings of Martin Luther. That's how to do that, follow the teachings of the I Ching. My goal isn't necessarily to be a perfect 5,000 years ago Chinese person, but it's also not necessarily not the goal. And that, you know, I'm allowing that to come to the table with the other influences, with the other guides, the other things to consider, where I have placed chief among them Lord Buddha, and the Buddhist Books podcast project is an ongoing effort to seek to clarify the teachings of Lord Buddha for myself from the scriptures, and give that more weight because I've chosen to, not saying that that's what one should do, but to give that more weight than like what my dad or anyone else has like told me about what Buddhism is all about, or that kind of thing, or what modern people, people trying to get money, people, that kind of thing, have. What am I going on about? No, I think I said it. Yeah. So, so reading these things, I'm not reading them with the intention of, there might be some folks who are like, oh, this is absolute truth about the soul and it's universal. And, you know, and that's good. I appreciate that. I respect that. And that's not where I'm coming from. But, you know, I'm looking at it and going, okay, all right. And when it's good, when it rings useful, then it's like, okay, maybe I'll keep that in mind. But then when my sense of embracing my Jungian shadow or letting go of an attachment or something that overrides that, you know, like advice from Carl or advice from Siddhartha, you know, Shakyamuni, I should say. Not Mr. Anderson, but Neo, not Siddhartha Gautama, but Lord Buddha. You know what I'm saying? Joshua Ben Joseph, the Christ, you know, like, is that, I don't know, sometimes you can play with that. Edward BT, you know, the Pymander. No, oh, fucking Pymander, don't get me started about that. Back to the reading. I was wondering what I was going to do because, you know, these trigrams, I've been doing two in one episode, but here we got only one today. Oh, well, I guess I'll have to do other stuff. Well, no, I think this is one of the ones where I'm yapping, so that should be fine. Okay. All right, back to, we often see around us how forceful effort brings about what appears to be progress. Our egos tempt us to believe that, by the way, what Chinese word is getting translated as a word coined by Freud? I mean, I always wonder when something, I mean, unless it's not a translation, this is just Brian Walker's, like, this is what I think it means. We'll find out later, because that guy that commented on I Ching 1 was saying that this is not the I Ching, so. All right, this is Brian Walker's take on it, for what it's worth. Never mind, I'll keep reading. Okay, our egos tempt us to believe that these gains are lasting and valuable, but the truth is otherwise. Oh, forceful gains, right, okay. Whatever is won by the desirous, ambitious, demanding manipulations of the ego will soon be lost. Yeah, those billionaires will die eventually and their fortunes will go on to their grandkids. We all know this. It's not very comforting. Anyway. Others can always be temporarily browbeaten into doing things our way. But only hearts won by friendliness and sincere goodwill are true over time. I mean, I honestly think, personally, just talking about me personally, because that's what I do, you know, if you want to read it by yourself without me talking about myself, then buy it yourself and read it yourself. Just have to remind, sorry, most of the people watching this doesn't apply to, but I'm just reflecting on this. I don't like strong arm people into doing, I'm much more inclined to withdraw and just, the only thing I insist on is having my own space to do things my own way, but I believe in the golden rule, so I think everyone should have the space and the freedom to do things their own way, and that does paradoxically include the right to enslave yourself to a groupthink, but I really do want people who have enslaved themselves to a groupthink and have traded fascism for, have embraced fascism to whatever degree, in whatever form, for a sense of community and are perhaps afraid to reject it on any level because they're afraid of being shunned by their community. I can sympathize with where they're coming from and hope that they wake up one day and decide to stop doing that. But I don't see it as necessarily my job to go grab them and shake them. However, I will put out a little hook, a little, you know, fish hook out into the YouTube algorithm, and if any of them happen to get curious like a fish and come up and see what it is, and maybe I'll put some clickbait thumbnail as bait, you know. Oh, bait, huh? That's why they call it clickbait. Obviously. Anyway, no, the point is, if they catch the hook, then I might shake them. But I'm not shaking them. I'm just shaking life in general. I'm shaking myself. It has nothing to do with you, but, you know, wake up, dude. You know, no. You know, So, yeah. No, I don't think I have to worry about strong-arming people into doing what I want them to do. Unless it's to leave me alone. Which, yeah, I think I have every right to do that. And I think everybody else does, too. Okay, others can always be temporarily browbeaten into doing things our way, but only hearts won by friendliness and sincere goodwill are true over time. In a friendly way, the friendliest possible way, you know, like, please fuck off and leave me alone. Oh, I love you so much, and, you know, I'm not in a place right now where I want to answer the phone when you call or respond when you email or message back when you message or you know. But if somebody's gonna like comment on a public post that everyone in the world can see and make some stupid sarcastic comment about how they haven't heard from me in a long time, you will get a little bit browbeaten, but that's just a little bit. Just a little bit of a, you know, very smiling, a little bit, you know, like then the sarcasm comes, then the direct communication comes, and then I'll never hear from you again because the communication was delivered, but you know I love you, because that's how I roll. That's for people in the ring 5 through infinity who want to be in ring 1 of the, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, try to forcefully nudge themselves in or back in. The I Ching teaches us again and again that joy and success cannot be forced or stolen. They are achieved gradually, but steadily, by those who relate correctly to others and to our higher power. To relate correctly means to steadfastly practice innocence, detachment, acceptance, modesty, and gentleness. What are we, training to be a concubine or something? I'm just being direct and honest and pointing something out. No, you gotta have that sword, you know, not just all crook all the time, all mercy all the time. Sometimes you gotta use the scourge. I'm just saying. I mean, maybe the I Ching's not saying, but I'm saying. You know, self-defense, right? The image and defense of the innocent and your loved ones is important. And you with gentleness, I'll gently, please stop accosting my child. No, you gotta come in with a hammer and maybe crack some skulls. Sometimes. Not all the time, but you gotta be ready to do it if you need to, you know? Not literally. Put down the hammer. Did you see the... No spoilers. Okay, the image of the hexagram is that of two lakes joined together to keep from drying up. It is an encouragement to us to join with like-minded friends now in the discussion and contemplation of higher things. All right. If we engage in an ongoing conversation about proper principles with our friends, our relationship to truth is steady, and our ego cannot seduce us into doubt, fear, and anxiety that lead away from joy. Oh, you won me back, Brian. The I Ching of Brian. Thank you for that little at the end there. Yeah, no fear, no doubt, no anxiety. The tiger just stared down. If it stares at you, stare back. If it runs at you, run back. If it bites at you, bite back. Right? No, run away from the tiger. It's okay. A place, time and place for fear and anxiety, and that's where it is, right? Someone honking at you, that's not where it is. It's It's an illusion. Okay. In your heart, be firm. In holding to what is good and honest and correct, I do my best. In your thoughts and actions, be gentle and accepting. Those who persevere on this path will meet with true joy and lasting success. All right. So, yeah, this is interesting. I even forgot that this was about Lake. We're reading about Lake. I hope there's a good editor. I'm sure Edward is good. He takes his time and makes good quality products. So the Lake Square is probably very nice. Okay, but now back to the hexagram. We're going to go over the lines. So when there's a change, so when you roll a 6 or a 9 or whatever it is. So if it's a broken line. So if we assume that when you did the coins or whatever, that you got a 9, a 9, a 6, a 9, a 9, a 6. If we assume that, then every line is a change. And so in that case, and in that case only, you would read all 6 of what I'm about to read. Otherwise, if you got some other combination of numbers, then you would read the ones that are 6s and the ones that are 9s, but not the ones that are 7s and the ones that are 8s. Okay, with that all being said, the first line, in detachment, there is freedom and contentment. One who empties himself of all desire now finds himself awash with joy. I like it. It sounds like Buddhism, but I mean, joy comes and goes too, you know. So let me just enjoy my lavender tea while the me in the past reads a bit from the Suryagama Sutra, which hopefully doesn't have any jar in the background of it. Go ahead and play the bit about joy.
As he dwells in this purity, his mind is tranquil and at ease. Suddenly a feeling of boundless joy wells up in him. There is such bliss in his mind that he cannot contain it. This is called experiencing lightness and ease, but lacking the wisdom to control it. If he understands, then there is no error. This experience does not indicate sagehood. But if he considers himself a sage, then a demon that likes happiness will enter his mind. As soon as he sees someone, he will laugh. He will sing and dance in the streets. He will say that he has already obtained unobstructed liberation. Lacking proper samadhi, he will certainly fall.
So as you were listening to that, I was hearing it in my mind. So that was soundtrack to Inside Out. So I think specifically something about joy, even though there's 5 emotions, right, going on in the little girl's head. But I think that was the joy theme. But anyway, and then followed by Here Comes Peter Cottontail, the intro, a few seconds. Anyway, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that this is absolute truth. I'm just saying I really enjoy Suryagama Sutra. So I'm going to recommend it, and I'm going to make it the end screen because. It's worth checking out. Oh boy, is it worth checking out. I think. I enjoy it. The thing that I enjoy, one aspect, and I've complained about this on Buddhist Books Podcast, because what the Polytech Society does is they like, oh, this repeats. Yeah, well, okay, this is the same as before, so we'll put 3 dots. Well, how are they going to know what goes in the 3 dots? Well, they can figure it out based on the context, based on the phrase that comes at the beginning of the sentence. They can go, oh, isn't that the same phrase that came at the beginning of a sentence 40 pages ago? And then they can go flip back to it and then, you know, copy-paste it here. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So, like, if you're listening to the Beatles, and you know what I mean? And then the chorus comes. Oh, just put the first 2 words of the chorus and then have some guy say, three dots, and then the last two words of the chorus, and that way they know, you know, oh, mentally, like, oh, we heard the chorus once at the beginning, and but we only heard part of the chorus, because even within the chorus, there's some words that repeat that are replaced with three dots. And so that the Polytech Society is very annoying. Polytech Society. Thank you, Polytech Society. So yeah, in Buddhist scripture and in other scriptures, there's certain things that repeat, but I think repetition, you know, like helps you remember things. And so the things that, there's certain key things that repeat in Suryangama Sutra that are like the main point, but then it's like interesting different permutations of situations, but within each one, there's a repeating cycle and a repeating refrain, which is the real lesson. And then the other examples are just like, you know, opening your mind to have the ability to recognize that it's not just those 10 specific situations. It's any of the infinite possible situations. But the pattern recognition, instilling a sense of pattern recognition is the important thing. And so there's other things in like the ancient, the really down to earth, like, rules of order for the monks kind of, you know, things is like, if everybody's at the meeting and, you know, none of these things are in place, then the meeting is valid. And then that'll get repeated like 30 times, but then there'll be 30 different examples of different types of meetings. And then Polytech Society will cut out the parts that are repeated so that you lose the point, which is to repeat it and memorize it, right? So Suryangama Sutra, just let it wash over you, I'd say. I enjoy the fuck out of it. I don't think that there's any harm that can come from it, other than the fact that, like, you know, it might make you raise an eyebrow at the white guy who runs the Tibetan, you know, club that you visit on weekends that's kind of culty and secretive, and it might make you think, is he possessed by a demon? And, you know, like a false guru, you know, that kind of thing. But maybe it's healthy to have that kind of skepticism in certain situations. All situations. You know, it's up to you. However many situations you want to apply your skepticism to. All of them, I'd say. Diogenes would agree. Anyway, second line. Those who are sincere in resisting inferior influences meet with good fortune. Those who abandon correctness for temporary pleasures do not. Everything in moderation, including moderation. You got to abandon common sense for temporary pleasures every once in a while. Just to remind yourself why it's a bad idea. You have like 6 months of depression and go, oh, right, that's why I'm not supposed to do that, you know. Okay, third line. If we are not firm within, the condom comes off. No, that too, but that's a very specific situation. If we are not firm within, there will be trouble without. Be on guard against envy, ambition, and desires. Joy is the province of the innocent and the independent. All right. Fourth line. If you sacrifice principles for a momentary pleasure or gain, you will never know true joy. That's how Whittingham got his name. In inner conflict ends when we turn our hearts and minds permanently to what is higher. You hear that? That is the absence of Creed singing Can You Take Me Higher, because I don't feel like putting that in today's episode. Okay, fifth line. One who dabbles in inferior emotions, attitudes, and actions will be undone by them. Oh, fuck you, you know. No, like, yeah, it dabbles. What's dabbles? I guess like plays around with? I don't know. I've had a few of those inferior emotions in the past few days, so someone's saying, oh, well, you're going to completely unravel. pull the thread of my sweater, watch me flop around like a fish. You know, we all know Offspring. Oh, the 90s, right? Green Day, there it is. Let these things go and return to innocence and truth. And by the way, I wasn't saying fuck you to the I Ching, but only to Brian Walker. No, I'm just being an ass. Sixth line, if we become caught up in the cares of the world, sooner or later we will be destroyed. That I agree with. As a warning, like, don't do that. Detachment, humility, and acceptance will save us from this fate. There's a balance to be struck for the ones who say that, you know, too much detachment makes you, like, complicit. There's a thing in Golden Dawn, they say, unbalanced mercy is weakness and lack of will and would allow evil to exist unchecked, thereby making itself the accomplice of evil. And if all you want is to be left alone, to meditate and detach so that you can experience serenity while the world burns and there's injustice happening and all of this, and your friend next door is like, you're just a selfish piece of shit, you know, for not coming with me to the protest and throwing rocks at the ICE, you know, whatever. And it's like, they have a point. But I think that you can do both. Or you can throw rocks at the ICE people in your own way. I mean, I kind of feel like by pouring undiluted mercury straight out of my brain onto yours, that's my version of fighting back against the oppression of the demiurge, if you will. Which I, you know, like, I, it's one level of fighting the good fight in my mind. It's not, I won't say it's more virtuous. I won't say it's as virtuous. I'm willing to accept that it's less virtuous than going and throwing rocks at the ICE people in their riot gear or whatever. You know, I don't know. You know, we all have our own path to follow. And, you know, part of the, like, there's a thing that happens where when groupthinks want to fight other groupthinks, they're like, we need more numbers. We need to get the people, you know, and on the enemy's side, they're like, let's get all these lonely, bored men who are feeling humiliated to, you know, hate women and join the Nazi party. And, you know, then we can get Trump in the White House, you know, and then they did that. And then we've all seen the results of that. And so then on the other hand, you have the people saying, let's get all the people that have hearts and maybe are Christian and, you know, like, but not like evangelical, obviously, but like the people who care, who have sympathy, who, you know, maybe don't want the world to think that they're racist if they're white, you know, or whatever, you know, they have a little bit of a bleeding heart, and radicalize them by convincing them that they're a worthless piece of shit who might as well be just join the enemy's side if they're not gonna sign up and join the revolution and march and throw rocks at the Icemen, you know. And I, you know, like, I'm kind of against the manipulation of people to join armies, you know, like, even if it's a lesser of two evils army or a good army, or, you know, like, so that's my position, actually. So, you know, like, I mean, I like to get along with people, and I don't like the feeling of conflict or disagreement, but also, I have to admit what I actually feel is right and wrong. And, you know, while something like, well, I can watch Andor and be like, oh, yeah, yeah. But then when I see, like, you know, someone doing Andor, I can be like, oh, maybe everybody doesn't need to join the resistance, you know, like the violent insurrection resistance. Maybe there's other subtler levels to it, you know. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, as far as how to fix the world's problems. Oh, I don't know. You know, I think it's that kind of thing where it's like there's always going to be problems. Not to say that, like, you know, we should all give up. Like I said, this is my attempt, just pouring raw honesty, for whatever it's worth, out of my brain. Not saying it's truth with a capital T, but it's truth with a lowercase t. It's my truth. You know, that whole thing. Speaker truth. Whatever. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Have I said anything? Doesn't matter. I hope everybody's doing well. This is Pew's shirt. I've officially lost enough weight that I can wear Pew's clothes. I mean, I think this would probably fit her pretty loosely, but see. I don't know, just for the moment, I've misplaced my kata, and so if I'm not going to wear my kata, then I decided not to win. So, you know, we'll go back to standard Edward, how I would maybe dress up in my personal life if I'm going to go out and walk around on the street, you know, with the kata and the wedding ring, and when I'm inside the home, I just walk around in shorts. But anyway, you're wondering what the Edward persona is based on. It's based on what I look like when I go outside. It's a little something like this.
Hi. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's nice. Sure. Oh, yesterday? Oh, yeah.
That's the actual Edward persona. Anyway, I hope you're doing well. And next time it's going to be Gwydion doing Mechan Revelations, and it'll actually be Ibn Arabi instead of the long introduction to the second book. So that'll be fun, I think, unless it's not. And then after that, of course, well, you know, there'll be another Buddhist books, and then it'll be BT doing the tarot thing. Remember those? So we're back at that point. We're coming close to that point in the cycle. So just for the nerds. Do you see the square? Is it a square? If it's not a square, you watch this entire thing without clicking here. Oh my god. So, yeah, this is today. And tomorrow, or, you know, assuming I do it tomorrow, then it'll be... the green is for Mechan Revelation, and the red is for Gwydion. Today was white for I Ching and blue for Edward, right? And then, so the day after, the next one after the Gwydion Mechan Revelation will be black and yellow. So we're at that point in the cycle. And so we're getting toward the end of the first quinary. These five up at the top, the first quinary. All right. Okay, so click the link in the middle of the screen and watch Suryangama Sutra. It's worth it. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. You don't have to watch it all at once. In fact, it's most... Well, okay, I'll just leave it at that. Until next time.
Suddenly, a feeling of unreasonable, intense self-satisfaction may arise in him. It may include pride, outrageous pride, haughty pride, overweening pride, and pride based on inferiority. All of which occur at once. In his mind, he even looks...